Welcome back to the Mbago Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving into a question that's probably on a lot of investors' minds. I fear a significant decline in the S&P 500. Should you sell your tech stocks now?
That title itself really captures a sentiment we've been hearing a lot lately. That knot of anxiety, the feeling that maybe it's time to pull back, especially from those high-flying tech stocks. It's a very real and understandable concern for many navigating today's markets.
Absolutely. It's that internal tug of war, right? On one side, the instinct to protect capital, to sell before a potential downturn. On the other, the fundamental principle of investing based on data and long-term strategy, not just gut feelings or headlines.
And this question is particularly poignant because tech stocks are such a significant part of the S&P 500. When you're thinking about the broader market, you're almost certainly thinking about the tech sector. So, before we hit any panic buttons, let's break down what's fueling this anxiety and what the data is telling us, or perhaps, what the lack of timely data is telling us.
Great point. Let's start by looking at the complex economic tapestry and the shifting global dynamics. One of the most prominent factors, especially in recent years, has been the ongoing saga of tariff negotiations and trade disputes.
Right, these trade disputes and the general unpredictability surrounding international agreements create a cloud of uncertainty that's hard for businesses to navigate. Tariffs can disrupt supply chains, increase costs, and impact corporate earnings.
And for global tech companies, which rely on intricate international supply networks and sell across borders, this uncertainty can be particularly challenging. We've seen historical examples of how trade wars can ripple through the economy.
The tricky part, though, is that the effects of these negotiations aren't always immediately reflected in the economic reports we see today. The full impact might take time to materialize, leaving a gap for speculation and anxiety. It's like watching a storm approach but not quite seeing the first raindrops.
Beyond trade, another critical piece investors are scrutinizing is the health of the labor market. This is such a fundamental indicator of economic vitality, and we usually look at a few key metrics.
Exactly. We're talking about the unemployment rate, job growth figures like non-farm payrolls, and wage growth. These numbers generally signal economic strength or weakness. A robust labor market suggests a healthy economy where consumers have money to spend.
And for tech companies, this is crucial. A strong job market means more disposable income for consumers, translating into higher spending on everything from smartphones to software subscriptions. It also influences corporate spending on technology and hiring.
However, even here, we can find mixed signals. While weekly jobless claims might offer a near real-time glimpse, the broader monthly jobs report, which gives us a more comprehensive picture, can sometimes lag behind the immediate sentiment on the ground. It's another piece of the puzzle that isn't perfectly clear.
That brings us to the Federal Reserve, doesn't it? With the labor market providing one set of signals, investors are intensely focused on the Fed's decisions and pronouncements.
The Fed has a dual mandate: maximum employment and price stability. High inflation has been the primary driver behind their recent actions, like raising interest rates and quantitative tightening. This directly impacts tech stocks.
That's right. Many tech companies, especially growth-oriented ones, are valued based on projected future earnings. When interest rates rise, the discount rate used to calculate the present value of those future earnings increases, making them worth less in today's dollars.
This disproportionately depresses the valuations of growth stocks. And the Fed's communication, their forward guidance, is incredibly important. Markets often react to what they might do next, which can drive significant movements.
But here's the kicker: the Fed's own actions and guidance are highly data-dependent. They are constantly looking at incoming economic information to decide their next move. And that brings us right back to the challenge we've already touched upon, the very economic data that seems to be lagging.
It's this data lag dilemma that really stymies analysts and investors. When we talk about economic data, there's a distinction between leading, coincident, and lagging indicators. Lagging indicators confirm trends already in motion; they are the rearview mirror of economic analysis.
We see this with other reports too. Consumer confidence surveys often reflect how people felt about the economy weeks ago. Manufacturing indices like the PMI provide insights into factory activity, but the data collection and processing cycles mean they're always looking backward.
And retail sales figures, while crucial for understanding consumer spending, are reported with a delay. The fundamental reason is the sheer process: collecting, aggregating, cleaning, and analyzing data from millions of sources takes time.
The consequence is that investors are often making critical decisions based on information that is weeks or months old, while market sentiment, driven by daily news, can shift dramatically. This creates a challenging environment where the information we have is inherently out of date.
This disconnect, this lag, combined with trade uncertainty and the Fed's balancing act, creates a perfect storm for investor anxiety. When definitive, up-to-the-minute information is scarce, the vacuum is often filled by fear and speculation.
This is where the psychology of uncertainty really comes into play. Without clear signals, investors can become more prone to herd behavior, following the crowd out of self-preservation. And tech stocks often find themselves particularly vulnerable.
They are frequently categorized as risk-on assets, investments people flock to when confidence is high and sell off when confidence wavers. So, even if a tech company is performing well, its stock might suffer because the broader sector is being sold off due to macro fears.
It's like driving in thick fog with a GPS that's several minutes behind. You're reacting to where you were, not necessarily where you are. Have you ever felt that paralysis yourself, unable to make a clear decision because you just don't have enough solid information?
Absolutely. It's a common human experience, amplified when significant amounts of money are on the line. So, faced with this pervasive fog of uncertainty, what's a rational investor to do about their tech stocks?
This brings us to the heart of the dilemma: to sell or not to sell. The first step is to revisit the narrative of fear itself. We need to ask, is this fear justified by current fundamentals, or is it driven by speculation about potential future negative events?
It's crucial to differentiate between broad market sentiment, or macro fear, and the actual performance and prospects of the individual companies we own. The history of investing is littered with attempts to time the market.
And the overwhelming statistical evidence shows that timing the market is incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for most investors. Consistently attempting to do so often leads to poorer long-term results than simply staying invested.
Trying to jump in and out based on fear can mean missing out on periods of recovery, which are often the most profitable. So, instead of timing the market, a more prudent approach often involves shifting the focus back to fundamental analysis of your specific tech holdings.
What metrics can we still assess amidst the noise? We can look at a company's revenue growth. Is it still expanding? What about its profitability? Is it generating solid earnings or burning through cash?
Cash flow is another vital sign. Does the company have enough cash to operate, invest, and service its debts? Debt levels are also important. High debt can be a significant risk in a rising interest rate environment.
And importantly, does the company possess a strong competitive moat? This refers to its unique advantages that protect it from competitors. We also need to critically assess the nature of these tech stocks.
Are they still purely growth stocks, dependent on future expansion, or have some matured into more stable, profitable businesses with predictable revenue streams? Even with market uncertainty, are their current valuations still defensible based on their long-term prospects?
Take a moment to think about the tech companies you own. Are they still innovating, launching new products, and demonstrating genuine growth, or have they become stagnant, perhaps relying on past glories? This leads us to the bedrock of sound investment strategy: diversification and robust risk management.
Diversification isn't just a buzzword, it's a fundamental tool for mitigating risk. A well-diversified portfolio, spread across different asset classes, industries, and geographies, can help cushion the impact of a downturn in any single sector, including technology.
It's also a good time to review your portfolio allocation. Have your tech holdings grown to represent an outsized portion of your overall investments due to past strong performance? Rebalancing can be a prudent strategy.
When it comes to managing downside risk, some investors consider tools like stop-loss orders. However, these can also trigger sales during short-term dips, causing you to miss out on subsequent rebounds. The key is to align any risk management tools with your personal financial goals and time horizon.
Ultimately, the decision to sell or hold your tech stocks isn't just about macroeconomic indicators, it's a deeply personal one, tied to your individual financial situation and psychology. This is where you need to define your own risk tolerance.
How much volatility can you realistically stomach without losing sleep or making rash decisions? What are your specific financial goals? What are you investing for, and when do you anticipate needing access to that money?
For investors with long-term goals, a period of market uncertainty and volatility might actually be an opportunity to stay the course, or even add to positions at lower prices. The do-nothing option, staying invested, can be the most effective strategy for many.
It allows you to benefit from the eventual recovery of the market. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, or if the stakes are particularly high, don't hesitate to seek advice from a qualified financial advisor. They can help tailor a strategy to your unique needs.
The economic data may be delayed, leaving analysts guessing, but your own personal investment plan should always be clear, well-defined, and based on your own circumstances, not just the headlines. So, let's dig a little deeper into the conclusion, navigating uncertainty with a disciplined approach.
Precisely. We've acknowledged the anxiety, dissected the contributing factors, and touched upon fundamental analysis and personal financial planning. But what does this actually look like in practice, especially for those tech stocks?
Let's unpack this. Consider the concept of a tech stock itself. It's a broad brush. We're not talking about one monolithic entity. Within the tech sector, there's a vast spectrum.
On one end, you have the established giants, companies with massive market capitalization, diversified revenue streams, substantial cash reserves, and proven profitability. Think of a Microsoft or an Apple.
These companies, while still susceptible to market downturns, often exhibit more resilience. Their business models are typically more mature, their cash flows more predictable, and their competitive moats incredibly deep. They might not offer explosive growth, but they often provide a more stable foundation.
Then, you have the growth-oriented tech companies. These are the ones that might be burning through cash to invest heavily in R&D, expanding market share, or pursuing ambitious new ventures. Think of companies in AI, renewable energy tech, or advanced biotech.
These companies often have higher valuations relative to their current earnings because investors are betting on future potential. When interest rates rise, the present value of those distant future earnings shrinks considerably. This is why they are often the first to feel the brunt of a market correction.
So, when you look at your tech holdings, the first question isn't sell tech stocks, but rather which tech stocks do I own, and what is their fundamental profile? Are you holding a diversified basket, or are you heavily concentrated in a few high-growth, high-risk names?
Consider a company like Nvidia, dominant in AI chips but with a valuation tied to rapid expansion. Or Salesforce, with a strong subscription-based revenue model, providing a more predictable income stream. Understanding these nuances is critical.
Let's circle back to that idea of a competitive moat. What makes a tech company truly defensible? Is it proprietary technology? Strong brand loyalty? A network effect, where value increases with more users?
For example, Adobe's Creative Cloud has a near monopoly in professional creative software, giving it immense pricing power. Cloud infrastructure providers like AWS or Azure benefit from massive scale and deep integration into businesses.
If a tech company has a strong moat, it's more likely to weather economic storms and maintain its profitability long term, even if its stock price experiences short-term volatility. And what about profitability?
It's easy to get caught up in the narrative of growth, but ultimately, businesses need to be profitable to be sustainable. We should be asking, is this company on a clear path to profitability, or is it perpetually chasing growth at the expense of sustainable earnings?
We're seeing a shift in investor sentiment from growth at any cost to profitable growth. Companies that can demonstrate a clear path to profitability, or are already generating healthy profits, are likely to be more attractive.
This brings us to valuation. How do we value tech stocks, especially when PE ratios can seem astronomical for growth companies. We look at a range of metrics, price to sales, price to book.
But for many tech companies, especially those with strong recurring revenue, metrics like annual recurring revenue, ARR, and customer lifetime value, CLTV, become paramount. We also need to consider forward-looking valuations.
Are analysts' projections realistic or overly optimistic? And critically, how does the current stock price compare to these future projections, especially when adjusted for the increased discount rate from higher interest rates? It's about assessing if the price reflects long-term potential or speculative exuberance.
Let's take a hypothetical scenario. Two software companies, both growing revenue at 20% per year. Company A is profitable with strong cash flow. Company B is not yet profitable and is burning cash. Even with the same growth rate, Company A is likely a much safer bet.
If the market turns, Company A might see a smaller drawdown. Now, let's talk about the panic button again. The desire to sell is often driven by fear of missing upside, but also fear of catastrophic losses. This is where risk management becomes paramount.
Beyond diversification, we need to think about position sizing. How much of your portfolio is allocated to any single stock or sector? If a tech stock is 20% of your portfolio, a 10% drop has a much larger impact than if it were only 2%.
Prudent position sizing helps prevent any single investment from derailing your entire financial plan. And what about the psychological aspect of selling? It's incredibly difficult to sell a stock that has made you money, even if fundamentals have deteriorated.
Conversely, it's equally hard to hold on to a stock that is rapidly losing value. This is where having a predefined investment plan becomes your anchor. You should ideally have a thesis for why you are buying, what price you believe it's worth, and under what conditions you would consider selling.
Having these criteria in advance removes the emotional element from the selling decision. Consider a tech company's stock price plummeting 30%. The immediate instinct is to sell. But if the reasons are temporary market overreactions and long-term prospects remain intact, selling could lock in a loss.
However, if the company announced a major product failure, lost a key executive, or faces increased regulatory scrutiny that fundamentally alters its business model, then selling might be the prudent, albeit painful, decision. This is where the lack of timely data plays a crucial role in amplifying fear.
Imagine reading headlines about a potential recession, rising interest rates, and geopolitical tensions. Without concrete, up-to-the-minute data on your specific tech holdings, it's easy to extrapolate these broad negative trends onto your investments. You start to assume the worst.
This is why diligent investors don't just rely on news headlines. They delve into company reports, earnings calls, and independent analysis to get a more nuanced picture. Let's think about the role of professional investors and institutional money.
When you see large institutional investors selling off tech holdings, it can create a ripple effect. Their actions can trigger further selling by other market participants, including individual investors. However, their objectives and time horizons differ from ours.
They might be rebalancing portfolios, managing risk for large funds, or engaging in short-term trading strategies. Their actions don't always reflect a fundamental, long-term view on a company's intrinsic value. So, what are the concrete steps an individual investor can take?
First, revisit your investment thesis. Why did you buy this particular tech stock? Has that fundamental reason changed? If the long-term shift you believed in is still happening, then current jitters might just be noise.
If, however, a new competitor has emerged or the company has made strategic missteps, then your original thesis might be invalidated. Second, conduct a fundamental health check. Look at the company's balance sheet and cash flow statement.
Does it have a healthy level of debt, or is it highly leveraged? Is it generating positive cash flow from operations? Is it investing wisely in growth, or just burning through cash? Review its income statement. Is revenue growing? Is gross profit margin stable?
Third, assess your portfolio's tech exposure. If tech stocks represent a disproportionately large percentage, it might be time to rebalance. This might involve selling some tech holdings to invest in other sectors or asset classes that have become relatively undervalued.
Fourth, consider your personal circumstances. This is the most crucial part. What is your time horizon? If you're investing for retirement in 30 years, a temporary dip is likely less impactful than if you need that money in 2 years.
Your risk tolerance is also paramount. Can you sleep at night if your portfolio drops 20%? If the answer is no, then perhaps your current allocation to volatile assets is too high. Fifth, understand the difference between market timing and strategic selling.
Trying to perfectly time the market is a fool's errand. However, making a strategic decision to sell based on a change in fundamentals, a shift in your personal circumstances, or a need to rebalance is a mark of disciplined investing.
Let's take a hypothetical scenario. You own stock in an AI healthcare software company, bought at $50, soared to $150, and has now dipped to $120 amidst market jitters. What do you do?
If your original thesis about AI in healthcare remains strong, and the company continues to report strong user adoption and growing revenue with a solid balance sheet, this dip might be a buying opportunity or a reason to hold. You might even add to your position.
However, if your fundamental check reveals that the company's debt has ballooned, its gross margins have shrunk due to competition, or executives have sold shares, then the dip might signal deeper problems, and selling could be the prudent course of action.
The anxiety surrounding selling tech stocks before it's too late is often rooted in a fear of the unknown and a desire for certainty in an uncertain environment. The lag in economic data exacerbates this, leaving a void for speculation and fear.
But by grounding our decisions in fundamental analysis, understanding our own financial goals and risk tolerance, and maintaining a disciplined approach, we can navigate these choppy waters more effectively. It's not about predicting the future with perfect accuracy.
It's about building a resilient investment strategy that can withstand volatility and align with our long-term aspirations. The S&P 500 might fluctuate, and tech stocks will certainly have their ups and downs, but a well-thought-out plan, executed with discipline, is your best defense against the siren song of fear-driven decisions.